From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests. And that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. What a fascinating topic we are going to dig into this hour. I've really been looking forward to this. Let me tell you a bit about our guest. Carol Dennis grew up in a haunted house where she watched dark, shadowy figures walk around her bedroom, doors opening and closing, and lights going off. I mean, on and off. She spent her entire life attempting to understand these mysterious phenomena. She's the author of the nationally acclaimed book, Colorology, The Science of Color. She's been a colorologist since 1987, and she also is receiving telepathic communication from other beings, call them extraterrestrials, interdimensionals. She researches the UFO phenomenon, and also something that's especially intriguing called the vanishing twin phenomenon. So we have plenty of amazing sort of little branches that we can explore tonight with her as our guest. Her website is thecolorfulpsychic.com, and you'll find that linked up for you at speakingofstrange.com. Carol Dennis, welcome to Speaking of Strange.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. I'm very happy to have you on the show, and you know, the hard part is figuring out exactly how we can fit all of this in, because you have done it all. And let's just start with the basics. Tell us a bit about where you're from, where you are, and your description of what you do.
Well, I live in Safety Harbor, Florida, on the west coast of Florida. I've lived here. I grew up here. I lived in a motorhome for 13 years, but most of the time has been spent in this area. And right now I do psychic readings here and talk to people about my books and sell my books and lecture and that sort of thing.
So now, at what point, Carol, did you realize that you have a special gift?
Well, as you mentioned in the introduction, I lived in this haunted house. And we lived there from 10 to when I was 10 to 16. And my mother didn't believe in ghosts. She believed that when you were dead, you were asleep in a grave. So you're not here seeing anything. Shut up and stop screaming in the middle of the night. But I knew I was. But I knew she was very smart. And I'm going, what's wrong with me then? Why is this happening to me? So I just searched my whole life trying to figure out what it was that was happening to me. And it just led me from one thing to the next. I loved the research process. And so it just, something would interest me and off I go in that direction. And then something else would trigger me and off I go in that direction. And it just took me from one place to the next. And so that was when it was the psychic ability just kind of was starting. And then when we moved away, when I was 16, it all stopped. And I was so thankful because it was so terrifying, and not having any validation for it was so disturbing to me that for it to go away was wonderful. When I was 37, it all came back again. And I hit a low point in my life where I was a mess physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, every kind of way. And I started asking for help. And I started receiving it. I started receiving telepathic information. And it was about color, why colors affect you, how they do. Scientifically, I was getting scientific information that I knew nothing about because I did not have a background in that. And so I would write these paragraphs of information down, and then I would go to the library and find it word for word in quantum physics books, physiology books, and medical textbooks. I'd never even heard the words electromagnetic spectrum before. I didn't have any idea what that meant. So it was just kind of a long journey from one thing to the next, trying to understand. I wanted to know who was talking to me. I could ask anything that I wanted, and I would get an answer, except I'd say, who are you? And I would get nothing. So that was a big thing to me. Who's talking to me? Obviously, the information is accurate because I would go to the library and I'd find a word for word in quantum physics book. So obviously, it was true what I was hearing, but who was it talking to me? So it took a long time to come to the conclusion, but I discovered it was my twin who died in utero.
Wow. See, now that is one of the most unusual topics that I'm definitely looking forward to digging into, because that opens up so many strange questions. And before we dig into that, tell us, though, what exactly is colorology?
Colorology is the science of color. It's why you respond the way you do to color, why one color raises the blood pressure and one lowers the blood pressure. It's the science of that, how everything is energy. And the visible light spectrum is the only part of the electromagnetic spectrum that we see, the seven colors of the rainbow. And everything in our physical material world is vibrating at the frequency of one of those seven colors, or you wouldn't be able to see it. So it's the science of that. But how does that affect us? It's the chakra system, the energy centers. It's the endocrine glands, really. My book is very simply done, but scientifically done. It's to help you understand the science of it, because I believe that if you understand the science of it, you'll use it in your life, and it affects everything that you do. Clothes you wear, the food you eat, colors you surround yourself with. So you're constantly being affected by the energy of color and the frequencies of color. So if you can use it, you know what those are, you can use it deliberately to help your life and enhance your life.
It's amazing to think that we are constantly sort of swimming in this near infinite ocean of all of these electromagnetic frequencies, but we can only see this one little narrow slice. And obviously, I presume that part of evolving as humans is being able to see a wider and wider band. So give us some examples of how that color affects us every day and how we can use this colorology science to sort of practically enhance our lives.
Okay, so some basics are that red, orange, and yellow are stimulating, activating, motivating, warming colors. Green is neutral. It's in the middle of the spectrum. And blue, indigo, and violet are calming, cooling, soothing colors. So if you're trying to raise your blood pressure, you're trying to get some energy, you're trying to exercise, you're trying to lose weight, red's a great color for that. Get your body moving, get the energy moving in your body. It's a great color. Put something red in front of your treadmill, and it'll give you more energy to keep on going longer. Orange is the elimination system. Put some orange in your bathroom, right in front of your toilet, so you're looking at it right there. Yellow can increase your mental capacity. If you're taking a test, for instance, and you can't, or you just can't remember a word, or you're just trying to remember something, stop, take a deep breath, imagine yellow in your brain, and the information will probably pop in your head. Green is neutral. It's in the middle of the spectrum, so green is a good balancing color. It's why they have it in schools and hospitals so much, because it's neutral. It doesn't stimulate, activate, motivate. It doesn't calm, cool, and soothe. It's right in the middle, so it's a good healing color in the middle. And blue is very calming. It's a very calming color. And purple is spiritual. It'll increase your psychic ability, and it just kind of tunes you into your higher self, other entities, so to speak. My psychic ability started increasing so dramatically is when I started chakra spinning. By starting always at the base of the spine where the energy moves the slowest and longest, and just imagine a spiraling into the reproductive organs, and then move your way up with the seven colors up the body. And I was doing that a lot, and meditating a lot too. Meditation and chakra spinning will increase will increase your psychic ability faster than anything.
So if someone surrounds him or herself with, say, the color violet or purple as much as possible every day, then gradually that person should become a little bit more intuitive and psychic over time?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the color scheme like inside your house?
There's a lot of purple. there's a lot of blue and turquoise and greens. Yeah, I don't go much for the reds, orange, and yellows. There's some of that. I think that we need all of the colors in our life somewhere. You know, it's like getting the it's a rainbow. You know, one of the things I did one of my first adventures was creating this rainbow poster. And when you look at the full spectrum, your body pulls to it the color it needs in order to balance. That's why it feels so good to see a rainbow. Whenever you see a rainbow, you got to go tell somebody you just saw a rainbow, right?
Yeah.
Because there's an innate thing in us that there's something about color. We just know it. Color is part of every civilization. They've used color. They, you know, use it in one way or another. They figured it out, and so we're just figuring it out again.
And so, how do you place white and black into this colorology context?
White is like the barrier. White, it keeps energy out. Black absorbs energy. You know how a black car is hotter than a white car? It's because it absorbs energy. That's what you do when you wear the color black. You absorb other people's energy. White is just the opposite. It keeps energy out. So be very conscious of where you're wearing that. Don't wear black in a bar. You know, that you wear black in a church. So you're feeling that wonderful energy and that loving vibration and so forth. But if you know you're going to go into a negative situation, you want to wear white, because that'll keep that protection around you and keep that negative energy from affecting you. And of course, the more sensitive you are, the more it's going to affect you more. But it will still be, it's the same reaction. We all have the same reaction to color, whether we're colorblind or blind or whatever. It's energy. It's just energy, and we're all affected by it in the same way.
Well, so if you have somebody who is, say, complaining of depression all the time, and every time you see that person, he or she is all dressed in black and all gothed out, then one of the things you should say is, hey, maybe you don't need to be absorbing so much stuff. Maybe you need to wear brighter, maybe closer, you know, to white to sort of create that boundary so that you can get your bearings, huh?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know, it makes perfect sense. And now when it comes to this, and of course we have a break coming up in about a minute, how do you sort of take the infrared and ultraviolet realm and place them into this study?
Well, I don't really. It's like, I can't go everywhere with that. And so my focus was on the seven colors. What do those seven colors do to us? And I believe also that we have a life color. That we begin with the color red, and we have many lifetimes in each color. And as we gain the gift, skills, knowledge, and learn the lessons of each color, we move through the spiral of life, and we move through the seven colors. And this is the information that I have is information that was given to me. I don't know anything about science. I know a whole lot more now since I've studied it, but I really knew nothing about science. So I try to stick with what I was given because I feel like that was my job. I feel like that was an agreement I made with my twin. Before this lifetime, that we were to do this. She was to help me, and I was to be her mouthpiece and our mouthpiece and talk about it and share this information. And so pretty much I stick to what she taught me. And the truth is, because I didn't know anything, I wrote everything down, and then I went and researched other books on color.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up there. We'll talk about what that Carol discovered when she began looking for the source of this information. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. imagine if one day you began to receive communication from beyond? If information was being streamed into your brain, into your mind, into your soul from elsewhere, things you could have never possibly known on your own, maybe things you would have never even looked into on your own, how would that change your life? How would that alter your outlook on the world? Well, that is exactly what happened to my guest this hour, Carol Dennis. She is often known as the colorful psychic, and her journey has led in many different directions, branched into a variety of fields. You can go to thecolorfulpsychic.com if you want to explore her website, thecolorfulpsychic.com. She's joining us tonight from Florida. Carol, when you began receiving this information streaming in from elsewhere, the first thing that you were led to do was investigate the UFO phenomenon. How did that progress for you?
Well, I was trying to understand what was happening to me. You know, it was so odd, and it's like it was obvious it wasn't a normal thing. You know, it wasn't. I couldn't go to a doctor, and so I just started searching, and the UFO phenomenon just started coming into it. It just kept popping up, and I thought, all right, I'll go there. I'll see where that leads me. And I ended up doing the thing I called the UFO reference book. I took 150 books and went on top of a mountain and read about 15 hours a day for 3 months, trying to understand what was happening. And so that really just gave me more questions than answers. This isn't helping. Okay, well, so where else am I going to go? So in the process of all this, I met this hypnotherapist from Atlanta. And she was regressing people. And she found this large number of people who had contact with extraterrestrials and became geniuses. They started knowing things that they couldn't know. And they told the same story. And so one time I was living in a motorhome and traveling around the country, and I came through town, and she said, Carol, I'm having a support group tonight. I want you to come and hear what's happening. You need to hear this, what I'm finding here. I said, okay. So I went, and it was like, wow, that happened to me, and, well, that happened too. Well, wow, maybe there's something about that maybe that's where this is coming from. I don't know where it's coming from. And so we did a research project, and we interviewed over 100 of these people. It was a fascinating, fascinating study. We ended up found 35 people to come to a retreat center in North Georgia. We all got together, and we told our stories. And we had a talking stick, and we passed it around. So when you were talking, nobody else could talk. But each person was talking, there was another person on the other side of the room going, oh, oh, oh. They just could hardly hold themselves back when they finally get talked, they say, if I put my invention with your invention, we'll have something even greater. And it was really interesting the way the whole, it was all coming together. But what we discovered doing this research was that almost all of the people that we were interviewing, we interviewed them about everything in their life, from gestation to their childhood, everything we could think of. What we discovered was that almost all of them were twins, or supposed to have been twins, or had a lot of twins in their family. And as soon as I realized that, I'm going, that's really strange. I'm going to call my mom and see what she says about this. So I call her, and there's twins in my family. And there is, later we found out that the youngest brother, he was also gestated as a twin. And she said, and I'm telling her the symptoms of this single twin thing. It's called the vanishing twin phenomenon, is what we first found it in a medical textbook, very obscure textbook. Someone brought it to us. And it was called the vanishing twin phenomenon. It's now called the vanishing twin syndrome in more current medical terminology. But anyway, so it's like, twin, that makes so much sense to me. It was like such an aha moment to me, because there were so many things in my life that made sense. My mother, the DES baby, diacetylbestrol, was an experimental drug, and it was given to women who, during the 50s and 60s, and for women who were about to miscarry. They were bleeding. And so they would give them this drug, and it would stop it, stop the bleeding. And so I was one of those that, so I found out that that was really the sign of a twin. Bleeding during a pregnancy, unless there's something very, very wrong, is a sign of that you're losing a twin. And my mother bled through the pregnancy. And there are other twins in my family. I've always had a fascination with twins. And just went on and on and on with my validation that this is what it was. And so it was still so bizarre that I was like, oh, I can't say that in public. I just can't say that. I can't admit that to anybody. And so it took a long time, for months and months and months and months, to work through that process. Actually, it was probably about over a year before I was really willing to say that. But when I did, and I named her, that's when everything changed. The connection was even more solid than it was before. It was clearer. And then through the years, it's integrated more. It doesn't feel so separate. In the beginning, I used to call it the talking head, because it was like this voice outside my head talking to me. It was very separate. But now it's more, she's more integrated, and it's easier for me to connect with her and to get into that other space of knowing. I do a kind of remote viewing sort of thing when I do reading, and that connection has really allowed me to connect better with her and make this connection even stronger.
So now it says here on your website that 1 in 8 people actually begin life as twins, and that 75% of the women diagnosed with twins only deliver one baby. So what, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that if you have a twin that was in the womb with you, but that twin didn't make it, that this twin may be able to telepathically communicate with you throughout your life, and this twin somehow has access to this greater spiritual body of information?
I think that's how it works. I don't really know. Those are medical statistics that you just quoted. And the medical profession knows this is happening. I went to a convention one time of sonographers that are doing the sonograms for babies, and they announced that there was a researcher in the back of the room doing a study on the vanishing twin phenomenon. If anybody wanted to come and talk to her, please feel free to do so. She's in the back of the room. You wouldn't believe, they stormed me. Oh my God, it was amazing. They were, oh my God, I have to tell you what happened to me. Oh my God, I have to tell you. And what they would do is they'd do the sonograms, and they'd see two babies. And they'd go, oh, look at you have two babies. Oh, and that's fun, look at this. And so then the next time the mother would come in, there'd be only one baby. And there's this silence. And the mother is freaking out because she's not all excited about two babies anymore, and they can't tell the patient any bad news. So they had to just leave the room and tell the doctor, okay, we got another one, go in there and tell her. And they were horrified. They were horrified the way the doctors were treating the women, because they were like, oh, just be thankful you're not having twins. Twins are horrible. Don't be, just be thankful. And they were just blowing them off and not giving it any validity. And so the mothers just didn't bother. Yeah, you're right. Twins are a lot of work. But it's very, very difficult to gestate twins. The body's not made to do that. It's made for one. And so it's just very difficult. And so they started doing transvaginal ultrasounds, so they could do ultrasounds much earlier than they could originally when they first started doing ultrasounds. And so they can do them earlier and found out how many more women were actually pregnant with twins. They never realized it was happening because they couldn't see it. And now they can see it, and then they realized how huge the numbers really are.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take another break, and when we come back, we will explore how that this twin phenomenon may play into Carol's psychic ability. This is one of those very odd subjects. For some reason, I'm being reminded of that movie, The Dark Half, I think it was called, the old Stephen King film. Her website is thecolorfulpsychic.com. and we'll explore this odd territory more when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Strangers around the globe. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm talking right now with Carol Dennis, the Colorful Psychic. Her website is thecolorfulpsychic.com, and she began receiving a lot of information from somewhere out there about the science of color, which led her on this journey through UFOs and eventually to the idea that this intelligence doesn't come from out there, but deep within, that it comes from perhaps having a twin that was gestating with you there in the womb but didn't make it. And if you go to thecolorfulpsychic.com, you can actually get a reading from Carol Dennis. And Carol, let me ask you, when you do a reading, I'm assuming that you are relying upon information that your twin, so to speak, is communicating to you. But if the twin was intended originally to simply be another human being like you, then why does the twin have access to all of this information?
You know, I'm not so sure. I think I'm not so sure she really does, because when I do my readings, my intention, I say this intention statement, we ask for your guides, helpers, angels, and loved ones in spirit to come and give this information that will help you in your life right now. And so I think that her connection was that she stimulated my pineal gland. This is what she told me, that by stimulating my pineal gland, she could raise my frequency so that she could communicate with me. And the byproduct of that was I got more psychic. And so I think that she communicates with me about some things and about my life and what I'm doing and that sort of thing. When I do a reading, I don't know where it comes from. I hear, see, and feel information. And all I know is that it's usually right. But so I can't say this is your grandmother talking. I'm just hearing things. I'm looking at pictures. I'm looking at little movies going on in my head. So I think that she was to stimulate that and to give me that information about color. I think we made an agreement that this was what we were going to do together. She was going to help me from that side to communicate this information to me, to be clearer. From that side, she could be clearer, and that was her mission, was to give me this information on color, and my job was to get it out there.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about the approach that you take is I can almost imagine, and I don't know for a fact, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, I imagine that a lot of people who contact you for a reading, they have some kind of a problem, of course, that they would like to get solved, and you use your ability to tap into that problem, and then you, at the end, can rely on your color science to give them something to remedy this problem because you understand how to change the wavelengths going into that person's brain so they can alter their lives. You probably do something like that, am I right?
I do, and I find out what their life color is. I use a pendulum on a chart that I made up, and it's of the seven colors, and I find out what your life color is, and I tell you about that, and that tells me information like what your best careers would be, how you look at life, physical and emotional strengths and weaknesses. It tells me all sorts of things about you. And so I tell you about that personality thing. I mean, in the first reading that I do for people, I tell them about their life color, and then I answer questions about whatever it is that they want to ask. They direct me to, you know, whatever is going on, you know, marriage or whatever, not without a lot of detail. Just tell me, what about my marriage? And then off I go. And then I do this form of remote viewing. So I call it remote viewing, for lack of a better term. But I can see out into the future, to your most probable future reality. And it usually happens. You can always change. I tell people you can always change it. But being aware of it allows you to, this is where you're heading probably. If you don't do something different, you or whoever else is involved, what I'm seeing is probably going to happen. So if you don't like it, change what you're doing.
And so do most people have one predominant life color that sticks with them through life, or how
yes.
much does this? So they do. So it doesn't change yes. that much over a lifespan, huh?
No. My understanding is that we go through the seven colors in as we progress through go back to the source. You know, the philosophy and a common philosophy. It seems that we move through the seven colors. We learn the lessons and gain the gifts and skills and knowledge of each one of the colors, and then we move to the next color. We're starting with red, and then we moved all the way through the seven colors, and that's what happens on the physical reality, in the physical world here that we know about, and then I don't know what goes on next, but this is the information that she told me, that this is how this works. And it never failed. I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of readings. I've been doing it for 23 years professionally, but I did it before that as well. But professionally for 23 years, and so I've done thousands of readings, and rarely, maybe 10 people maybe in all those thousands of readings, people go, no, that doesn't sound like anything like me. No, I don't get that at all, no. And those people were usually people that had been dragged to have a reading, and you know, the mate dragged them here, you'd go have a reading. They weren't interested, they didn't have any relationship to this at all, and they were just blocking the whole thing. But really, is it not exactly described the person?
So ideally, then, should a person sort of try to progress all the way to white? Is that the ultimate goal?
It's to get through the seven colors up to mm-hmm. the violet. And I don't know what happens next. So it may be white, probably is. But it's to move through those seven colors. That's the physical, but that's what happens in this physical dimension. And then there's whatever else happens, you know, when you move on. And the older I get, the less sure I am of that. And the more I read and study, and the less I really, you know about how any of that works, what's going to happen next, or, you know, death and all of that sort of thing. It's an amazement to me.
And so do you see the aura at all, Carol?
No, I don't. I can kind of feel it. I can kind of, I can just kind of like, if someone is in my presence, I do a lot of phone and Skype readings and stuff too. So, but if someone's in my presence, I can kind of run my hand over their body, and I can just kind of feel, this isn't right here. This area isn't right. And so I don't really see colors in that way, like I've seen auras.
Mm-hmm. And so what is a person who is on the verge of death, what color would you expect that person to, their life color to be at that point?
The life color is going to be the same throughout their whole life, but their energy turns very, very dark. One time in all these years, one time, I knew this man was going to die. His energy was very dark and very gray and muddy feeling kind of. Here I am talking about color, and I say I don't see color, but that's because kind of how it felt to me was gray and muddy and dark. And he did die shortly after that.
Yeah, wow. So do you feel like that ghosts and various disembodied spirits also have these same color connections that you're associating with living humans?
You know, I don't know. Kirill is what I named her. And she was about this. Just get this. These seven colors. Never mind. Yes, we have more. We have chakras in our hands and chakras in our feet. And never mind all that. Do these seven colors. You do this. You teach this. And this is what we agreed to do. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I've never been convinced that any of it was incorrect. You know, if you study color for very long, you'll see very many different types of disciplines in color. You see that there's controversy, like red will be the sexual energy in one, and orange will be the sexual energy in one. And you know, those two being different are the most common switches and changes in various color disciplines. But she always said red is the sexual energy. And so as I started reading later to prove what she was telling me, I made a big chart. Each color book I'd read on color, I would make a chart of what organs they said related to what colors and what essential oils and what gemstones and what foods and whatever. And so I did this big chart. And it was like, it never changed my mind. It never changed my belief system about from what she gave me, because it only made sense. And also,
yeah.
Dr. Christopher Hill and Dr. Richard Gerber, both of those, Christopher Hill is not a doctor, but he has a university out in California. And they were the same as mine. And I've trusted their information so much, and especially Richard Gerber, was a medical doctor, and so it never changed. It never changed, really.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and hold it right there. When we come back, we will wrap up this conversation. Man, this hour has flown right by. I'm talking with Carol Dennis, the Colorful Psychic. Her website is thecolorfulpsychic.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Of Coast to Coast AM, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange with none other than Joshua P. Warren.
It's just the fear chains I've been putting on fire.
We are in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. This is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That's why we save it for late at night. And this hour, I'm wrapping up my conversation with Carol Dennis. She is the colorful psychic. Her website is, simply enough, thecolorfulpsychic.com, and you can also find a link at speakingofstrange.com. Carol, tell us more about how people who are interested in you and your work can learn about what you're doing, what you have coming up, and interact with you.
Well, my website has lots of information. There's a very large page on the Vanishing Twin phenomenon with lots of links to help people understand about that, the symptoms, of the how to deal with it. I have a Yahoo e-group that 500 people from all over the world that taught single twins or parents of single twins and therapists and all sorts of people that want to talk about that. So that information is on that website as well. There's information about all my different books and so forth that I've done, and information about readings and testimonials and that kind of thing. So everything is up there. I do them in my readings in person in Safety Harbor, Florida, and on the phone and Skype, so they can be anywhere.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I find what you're doing absolutely fascinating, because a lot of people, at first, they might say, oh, well, you know, colors, electromagnetism, you know, nothing new. But actually, this is the most sort of blatant expression right in front of our eyes every day of how energy is just bouncing and reflecting all around us. And we just have to be more attentive and more curious, and we have to pay much more, give a greater range of awareness to all of these colors and what they mean, and things that may not necessarily seem obvious at first will become very apparent the more you think about it. And I especially think that the way you dress makes a big difference. I have friends who are involved in various priesthoods, and the color that they wear is very important. You wear dark for this and white for that, and I think the explanation that you gave is very insightful. So you're doing some fascinating work. Please keep us updated. And I wish you the best of luck, and thank you for being on Speaking of Strange tonight.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, and if I can help anybody, I'd be happy to do that, the twin thing, and however I can help, I'm here for you.
Okay, great. Well, folks, there you have it. That was Carol Dennis, the colorful psychic, and just so you know, her first name is spelled Caryl, and of course, last name is Dennis. Carol Dennis, the colorful psychic. I've always been interested in the idea of twins. I guess that all scientists or scientifically oriented people have, for good purposes and bad purposes. I mean, there's a lot of controversy over cloning, for example, and, you know, twins are, from a physical perspective, essentially physical clones. And when you take twins who seem to have identical DNA but are different people, it really gives us a lot of insight into this complex conundrum there about the relationship between the body and the soul, or the body and the spirit. What is the difference between the two? And, you would expect that if two people have the same physical makeup, that, well, if the spirit is nothing more than an expression of that, the two should operate the same. It's like two identical computers. You would expect they would operate the same. But you can load different programs onto those computers, and maybe that's that nature versus nurture argument coming to light. Maybe if you have two identical computers that physically are made as close to as they could be to each other, but you load one with a certain set of programs and the other with a certain set of programs, this is a good analogy for why the twins may be the same physiologically, but they are exposed to a different set of circumstances and information and experiences, and that's really what shapes the output. It's fascinating, fascinating stuff to really dig into, and it's one of those rabbit holes you can go down pretty far. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be time for the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.